sweat the technique.
The summer circuit rolls on from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, live from East River 9. Here's the Killer Bees, Joe Blank and Jeremy Brenham.
Oh, great spot. Country club meets bar. Great spot to have a bite, have a drink. Kid-friendly. U.S. Open is on. College World Series is on. Play some pickleball. Play some golf. Whether you're playing on the par 3 course, whether you're working on your game at the driving range, shipping green, putting green, it's fantastic. NFL.com put together 9 bold predictions. 9 bold predictions for the 2023 NFL season. I want you to tell me how ridiculous these are.
I can do that.
First one. Sam Darnold beats the Jets in the Super Bowl.
Ridiculous.
On a scale of 1 to 10, that's a 10.
On a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 10?
That is the ultimate ridiculousness.
That the worst quarterback, one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL since he's been in the NFL, besides the one season where he was like half good and then got mono, Sam Darnold has been a terrible quarterback in the NFL.
Here's also what I would tell you. If you dissected that and just put it in parts, Jets in the Super Bowl, possible.
100%.
Right. Right? Niners in the Super Bowl, possible. Sam Darnold leading the Niners to a victory in the Super Bowl and over the Jets? Nah, I'm not.
I guess I have to be the voice of reason.
So maybe
here.
It's not a 10 then. If we can get the 49ers to the Super
Bowl. No, see, I think I'm like at like a 7. I don't think it's a 10. I'm like at a 7 in terms of it being like egregious, outrageous, never going to happen. They signed Sam Darnold. They already have Brock Purdy and Trey Lance. So there's an element of like about Sam Darnold from Shanahan.
Sure.
If there's any team in the NFL that can get to the Super Bowl with a lousy quarterback, it is the San Francisco 49ers.
Sure.
If there is one offense where Sam Darnold can, I won't say excel, I'll say look his best in, it's the San Francisco offense. San Fran almost won it way back in the day with Kaepernick, way before Shanahan was there. That doesn't count. Alex Smith, that doesn't count. But they almost won it with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right.
Why couldn't they win it
but
with Sam
Jeremy,
Darnold?
This is how we take how great we are at radio, translated to who said it, now translated to how we do radio. All those things are right that you said. But also, if we're looking at the fact that with the other quarterbacks that you mentioned, Sam Darnold's the guy that's leading you to the Super Bowl,
well, Brock
that means
Purdy's
those other
UCL.
Two guys probably got hurt during the season.
Well, Purdy's probably, yeah, I mean, Purdy's supposed to be back by camp, but maybe he's off of surgery. Maybe he's Lance McCullers off of Tommy John.
But he comes back, maybe he gets hurt, he gets hit, or that causes him a setback. Then Trey Lance gets the next crack at it because they drafted him so high and traded to get him, and they feel obligated, they got to give him the next crack. Then he craps the bed, and now you get all the way to Sam Darnold.
So, to be fair, this article, what this person says, what Adam Schein says, is that Sam Darnold gets the opportunity in week one because Purdy's not ready, and then never gets the job back.
And they don't like Lance. They don't like Trey Lance.
I know that. I firmly believe that, I actually think Sam Darnold the first couple weeks of the season is going to be just fine for them. But for you to say that Sam Darnold's going to not only be fine for a couple of weeks, he's going to go all the way and win the Super Bowl. I don't see that happen.
You think Brock Purdy's better than Sam Darnold?
I knew you were going to say that. That was the one that I was going back and forth with. I think Sam Darnold is better than Brock Purdy. But I don't know how good that really is. Because, like you said, the rest of the team is really good. They've lost some pieces. They're trying to fill in some pieces. I don't think they're the same team.
I think Sam Darnold's more talented but more, like, mistake-prone.
Able to make mistakes, yes.
And Purdy kind of fits what they want to do. Doesn't make mistakes. Keeps them on schedule, all of that. I think it's outrageous. But I'm like at a 7. I'm not at a 10. All right, number 2.
But the Jets got to get through Kansas City, Cincinnati,
yeah, but that's not the
Buffalo.
That's not the most egregious thing of that statement.
No,
I agree
that the
Jets going to the Super Bowl is pretty out there, but it's not.
Right, the Niners side of it is
now
more.
The Jets getting to the Super Bowl is pretty. I mean, it's out there.
Yep.
It's out there. Saints earned the number 1 seed in the NFC.
Ooh. Oh, stop it.
Good defense.
I'm like at a 2. I think it's very much in play that the Saints could have the best record in the NFC.
Alvin Kamara still might go to jail.
Cool. They signed Jamal Williams, who led the league in touchdowns last year.
Is that right? Of all people, they drafted DeAndre Miller from TCU, brother?
More so than Jameis Winston.
Yeah. Okay. But then you still.
Absolutely.
But you got to get by Sam Darnold. You got to get by the Niners that are better.
Here's
I
the other thing.
The NFC
here's
is
the
weak.
Here's the other thing. Not only is the NFC weak, but Joe just touched on it. What is the worst division in the NFC? It's the NFC South. The Saints could go 6-0 in the division. They could beat Tampa Bay twice. They could beat Carolina twice. They could beat Atlanta twice. In fact, if I'm setting it over or under there, how many wins do the Saints have in the NFC South? I'm putting it at 4.5. 4.5 wins in the NFC South.
I'm fine with that number.
Of the six division games, I'm putting the over-under at 4.5 for the Saints.
How many did they win for the season?
And the rest of their schedule's not that tough. I don't know it verbatim, but I was looking at it the other day. And look, David Carr's brother, I do think, is an upgrade at the quarterback position for the Saints.
Well,
but exactly.
Because Jameis didn't even play last year, so he's 100% upgrade over Andy Dalton.
Best
record in the NFC has got to be at least 12-4. I mean, 12-5.
I don't know, man. Look at the Eagles. The Eagles last year won a ton of games. There was not a team in that division that had a losing record. Every team in that division finished 500 or better, including the Commanders. So, I don't think it's crazy.
And the Saints division was the exact opposite. Every team finished under 500.
Under 500. I don't think the Saints are the best team in the NFC.
Yeah, this is probably like a 4.
But it's not crazy that the Saints could finish with the best record in the NFC.
Yeah, I think
it's
like a 4.
You got Philly. You got San Francisco. You make a great point about the division. But they do play the Texans. They do play the Chargers. Oh, those are preseason. Never mind. They play the Rams. And
win.
The Giants.
Win.
Yeah, those are out of division. Vikings.
Win.
Patriots.
Win.
I think we're talking. I think. Okay.
Jags.
Win.
I think I might be. I think Jacksonville.
I think Jacksonville beats them.
Could
Tennessee.
Get that one.
Win.
So it's Tennessee, Carolina.
I don't see a loss on their schedule.
And Green Bay.
I don't see a loss on the Saints' schedule.
That's a win over Green Bay.
Jose LeBonton Roulet. Saints, best record in the NFC.
Wait till we get to number 3.
Cardinals don't win a game.
That's easy. That's believable.
Yeah, I mean, I
totally
I,
believable.
I just
zero games though is difficult.
Yeah, I just to me it's a 10
it's
because how many times?
It's like once or twice.
Detroit
maybe?
Did it recently.
It was like that was you know what's crazy? That was like almost a decade ago.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah, I bet you that was 2015 at the latest. I don't even think so.
I think when you look at
wasn't Dan Orlovsky their quarterback?
Kyler Murray's not going to be ready till at least the midseason point. They were thinking about game 8.
Yeah, but they drafted Clayton Tune.
I was going to say you don't believe in Clayton Tune.
Clayton Tune's going to put that team on his back and win 2 games.
Say it.
I already did.
Go Cougs.
Hey, go Cougs.
I said it.
I didn't hear it.
I said it.
Okay.
That Lions season was 2008.
That's been a long time.
Yeah. It's been 15 years.
The Browns flirted with it a couple times with Hugh Jackson, right? They won like 1 or 2 games.
Yeah, when they were intentionally taking. Well, that's Miami.
It's so hard to win 0 games.
It's really hard.
It's so hard to win. Look at the Texans the last few years. The Texans the last 2 years we thought would win 1 or 2 games.
D-Hop's
and they won
gone,
7 in
Kyler
the last
Murray,
2 years.
And you know they're not going to bring Kyler Murray back if they're like 0-1 whatever when he's ready to
I don't
come
think,
back.
I think there's a good chance Kyler Murray doesn't play this year.
I agree with that. So I think that, and D-Hop's gone, J.J.'s gone, they're trying to shed salaries. They're probably going to try and shed some more. I think they'll flirt with it.
I think they'll flirt with it, too.
I think you're right that it's really hard to lose every single game in a season.
I'll put it at 5, because I think it's hard to lose every game.
I would say 3 or 4, but okay.
If it was they win 1 game this season, I would be like, yeah.
Or if it would be the Cardinals have the worst record in the NFL.
Yeah, or
I could see that.
They win 2 or less games.
But 0. 0's where it comes a little crazy. Yeah. All right, number 4, Packers post the second worst record in the NFL.
Yes! That's a 10.
The 10 on an egregiousness?
No, that's – oh, I'm sorry. That's a 1.
That's a 10 out of excitement
nailed
level.
Nailed it. Yes.
Why am I more excited about the Packers than you?
He's tank season right
I
now.
I am. I am embrace the suck, baby, because if we embrace the suck this year and we get one of the – either Caleb Williams or Drake May, there's a chance we could rectify the franchise quicker.
Or Shedeur Sanders.
I think the Packers win at least 7 games.
I don't think so.
Ooh, I don't think
so. I think this is an 8 or a 9 on the egregious scale.
I think Joel's right. I think the Packers have a lot of talent. I love Christian Watson. I like Dobbs. I like Jalen Reed. I like Aaron Jones.
Dylan.
I like Dylan. I think
they're winning 7 games.
But Jordan Love sucks.
We don't know that.
I think we
do.
Jordan Love looked great in the regular season.
Every
when he
report
last year.
Is that
great?
He looks awful.
He looked great in the 4 passes he played last
Go
year.
Go back and look
season.
At that game and how they overloaded on his 4 passes.
Those 4 passes look really good.
What happened the last time?
They did.
What happened the last time a backup quarterback for the Green Bay Packers played great?
He was a Hall of Famer.
No,
he
got paid.
He got paid a ton of money by the Seattle Seahawks for winning 1 game. Matt Flynn in week 18,
and then he started 0 games because Russell Wilson
beat him out. That's right.
I forgot Matt Flynn was a Packer.
We threw for like 450 yards that game.
I remember.
I think we were 15-0 going into that game and lost and was 15-1.
He balled
out
in that game.
He got paid out of that game. Yep. Number 5, Josh Allen wins the MVP.
That's cool.
I think it happened.
What is he, like second or third in the odds?
Yeah. I mean, him and Stephon Diggs apparently don't like each other now.
Apparently they squashed it, though. They said everything's fine now.
Did you see his quote the other day, which was odd?
Allen?
I know. Yeah, if I got involved here, I know I could have done – I should do more to rectify this situation. I mean, Diggs is the one that was calling him out at the end of the year and pointing at him and yelling at him on the sidelines and all that.
I know. I didn't think Allen was the one that needed to apologize there.
Right.
So I think it's fair. I mean, Josh Allen has a really good chance to win the MVP. He's like top three to win the MVP.
Yeah, this is too tame.
Yeah, that one's tame. Yeah. Number six, Myles Garrett wins Defensive Player of the Year. Mm. Another one that's too tame?
Yeah. I mean, I know it's not.
Even though because of the team and the record and things like that, Myles Garrett has been getting it done for the last couple of years. He wreaks havoc on the defensive side of the football. I could see that happening.
Micah Parsons, though?
That's where it's tough.
Yeah, true.
How about Sauce Gardner, though? How about Derek Stingley, though?
TJ Watt.
Stop it.
It's not the worst Myles Garrett take I've ever heard because that goes to Josh Beard, who will be on the bullpen tomorrow from 12 to 2.
Oh, I remember this one.
Josh said that Myles Garrett would be a bust.
You know why?
Because Josh is
Texas Tech?
No, but you know,
Aggie.
Do you know? Yeah, but do you know where this take was born?
Did he commit to Tech and then not go there?
No, I think he played pickup basketball with them once, and he didn't like love his athleticism, so he thought he was not going to make it in the NFL. He played pickup basketball with him, didn't think he was all that athletic, thought he was going to be a bust in the NFL.
Josh Beard, like the emphasis of athleticism in this planet.
He played pickup basketball with him, thought he was going to be a bust in the NFL. This one's not crazy. I mean, Myles Garrett, I don't know the odds off the top. He's probably top five, top seven to win this award anyways, so it's not nuts.
Did you not see Myles Garrett in the All-Star Celebrity Game like a couple years ago?
No, I don't
dunking
watch that.
On people
I don't watch celebrity
and like going
games.
All over the place? Come
Wait,
on,
Joel, do you actually watch
I don't
that?
Watch celebrity games.
I kind of do sometimes.
I haven't watched celebrity games since like the MTV Rock and Jock stuff.
I like.
Remember when they had the slow pitch softball and they had the eight ball? They need to bring that back.
I watched the celebrity softball
the 50
game.
Pointer.
Yeah, it was so good. That was the best celebrity games ever. It's number seven. Justin Jefferson makes NFL history as the first 2,000-yard receiver.
Oh,
if they had it,
I mean, that's a lot of yards.
It's come close twice. Calvin Johnson had 1,964 and 12 when they played 16 games.
What's
Cooper
that?
Kupp did it in 21, 13? Actually. Oh. He did it in 21. We had 1,947 yards, but 17 games. I think it's in play.
Yeah, it's in play.
With the extra game, it helps. It's still Kirk Cousins throwing him the ball. However, Kirk Cousins is really good in the regular season. He's just not very good at all in the playoffs.
And at noon.
Yeah, that's true.
And at noon, not on prime time.
I will say,
and Justin Jefferson's head and shoulders number one receiver in the league.
I think he is, too.
I think Jamar Chase is in the conversation.
I think Chase is close, but
I think he's
Jefferson
in the conversation.
Is that special, where I think it's not close.
I think Jefferson produces better numbers. I think Chase might be the better talent.
But the thing is like,
Chase
look, is I don't know,
body.
Man.
Jefferson's
it's pretty close.
I mean, they have KJ Osborne, like the way he learned the offense at the end of the year last year was special and it looks different. Jordan Addison, TJ Hawkinson. And now without Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, does that open up more passes, though?
Yeah, right.
Like, I just don't
and
know.
If he spreads it around, how's Justin Jefferson getting to 2,000?
And if they lose games. But if they lose games,
that
now you're looking
them.
At passing
that
late games.
Them.
Like, they won double-digit games last year. I'm not sure they finished with an above 500 record this year.
I think they won 11.
Don't say that because it leads,
I think it was like
13. Closer.
I think it was like 12.
They won 11
Joe George's
games.
Bet looks better.
I think it was 12.
No, but they won 11 games last year by one score.
Probably.
They had the most one-score wins. Remember how they squeaked out the Buffalo game where they turned it over and then got it back?
That's right.
Yeah, they won more one-score games than any other team in the league last year.
All right, we'll finish this up on the other side. Also, what is your boldest NFL prediction? What do y'all got? 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Killer Bees broadcasting live from East River 9 on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
The summer circuit rolls on from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, live from East River 9. Here's the Killer Bees, Joe Blank and Jeremy Brennan.
Think of your bold prediction, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, just to see this through. Rookie Jahmyr Gibbs leads all running backs in touchdowns. That's a hot take.
That one's really hot.
I'm not so sure Jahmyr Gibbs is their goal line back.
That's the problem. They gave him Montgomery.
Yeah.
I think
Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be their Swift, but a little bit more, like a little bit bigger. And then I think Montgomery's going to be their Jamal Williams.
Yeah.
So I think this is pretty outlandish. I think this is probably like a
Gibbs couldn't be their Singletary type back.
Yeah, he definitely will be. But he's not getting goal line touchdowns.
No.
And he's going to lead all running backs in touchdowns in the entire NFL.
There are guys,
I don't think he's going to lead his team in rushing touchdowns.
There are guys.
Now, this says touchdowns, so that means total.
Like if Zeke Elliott doesn't end up on a team, but there are guys like Zeke Elliott that their
Fournette.
Only true value is just getting, a couple yards at the goal line.
Yeah, you hand them the ball, they fall into the end zone.
Yep.
Like, I don't think Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be a goal line back. I think this is crazy. And I love Jahmyr Gibbs. Like, I think I'm
How
bullish
crazy?
On Jahmyr Gibbs. Seven.
7. I think it's more than that.
9?
I think it's a 9.
I'm fine by me. I don't think this is a very good prediction. All right, last one. Bill Belichick's final season in New England is playoff free. Think about that.
I'm good with that.
His final season in New England is playoff free.
I think that.
You think it's his final season?
Yes.
I think it's close.
If he misses the playoffs again.
You think he wants his son to be the heir apparent?
Probably. Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't want that?
Well, you would want that, but would Kraft do that for him?
Yeah. No, I think it's Sherrod Mayo. Like, they've already pretty much said that he's their next head coach.
That's true, yeah.
So Belichick's probably going to try to get his son in a spot where he's like the DC.
Junior's the DC. Junior's the DC,
yeah. Or he's in a good spot to get a job elsewhere. But, no, they made Mayo kind of that guy.
Yeah, Junior's going to be the DC.
Without Bob?
I don't think this is his final season. Hold on, what do you mean?
Bill O'Brien?
What about O'Brien?
Bill O'Brien's not
Will he be the heir apparent?
Gerard Mayo's like been named like the head coach in waiting almost.
Well, we've seen those things not work out.
That's true. That's very true.
And
that's
Billy O's got the long-standing relationship.
They're
there.
Not going to make Teapot Bill the head coach for the Patriots.
That would be awesome.
The heir apparent for Bill Belichick.
If you're a Texan fan, you love it.
I know, I would.
I think it depends on how the season goes.
Let him have the GM title, too.
No, not.
Let him go just hog wild crazy. Go ahead. Paul. Take Bill as the head coach and take him as the GM.
Paul's losing his mind right now saying that. Like, Paul doesn't want to hear Bill O'Brien as the head coach for the Patriots.
Let's say, like, even if they miss the playoffs this year, if the offense is like significantly improved,
I think it will be
with Bill O'Brien calling.
I think it's
going to
be way better.
There will be an argument for Bill O'Brien over Mayo.
I think their offense is going to be pretty good compared to last year. You got Stevenson. I think like Juju Smith-Schuster is not bad.
He's not on the field.
Tyquan Thornton didn't play nearly enough last year. And if they signed DeAndre and they signed Gesicki from Miami, and they have Hunter Henry. Yeah, how do you say it?
Gesicki.
What did I say?
Gesicki. Or something.
He's gone from Miami. That offense isn't so bad. Like,
no,
I think that offense has a chance to be above average. Actually,
I think I could see it being Bill Belichick's last year.
I don't think
I could. I could too.
I'm going to put this at a 6.
But do you think it's his last stop? No matter what,
I don't think he'll be a head coach anywhere else.
I do.
Yeah, you're talking about Belichick.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
He's also not a TV guy. He's not a broadcaster guy.
We'll hear from Bill Belichick in 5 years.
Hey, did you ever watch the doc on NFL Network? It's like a 2 or 3-parter on Belichick. It was the first thing that I've ever seen that humanized him. But he's like Jimmy Johnson. He likes his boat. He likes to go fishing. He likes to stay away from people. I could see him just say, "I'm gone, and you may never hear from me."
The NFL Network did their top 100 players of all time. And they got him to be part of that. It was like when you realize he was like one of the most intelligent people ever.
Yeah.
Because he would talk about guys from like the 30s and 40s and why they deserved to be a top 100 player of all time. He knew everyone. Like,
and you didn't want to – normally we would go and start trashing it. You didn't really challenge him. You knew that he knew his stuff.
Well, he's like Pop, but Pop actually gets asked like good questions and is just a jerk. But those morons in Boston literally ask the dumbest questions on the planet, and Bill doesn't want to answer them.
Here are my big NFL predictions. And y'all just roast me. You two and 713-780-3776, you the listener. The Chargers will have a top 5 offense this year.
I'm good with that.
I'm good with it too.
They brought in Kellen Moore. They drafted Quentin Johnston. Justin Herbert takes that next step. It's funny that we just read the other one, had the conversation with the Saints, because my big bold prediction, Saints run away with the NFC South. I think they win that division by 3 games minimum.
I think you're right on that.
Minimum.
I think it's a different conversation about having the best record in the NFC, but I think that it's a great head start if you can just steamroll your own division. There's no one there that should get in their way or cause any resistance.
Patriots finished the season with a winning record. I couldn't quite give them playoffs. Like a winning record.
I'm okay with that.
Where are they defensively?
I think they're all right.
I think, like, because when you were naming off the guys, too, I think that they have enough, and especially if Diop ends up there, they have enough with Matt Patricia being out the door that offensively they can play with people. I just don't know defensively where they're at.
Yeah. Defense is going to kind of, it's always the big deal with the Patriots. The Lions go to the NFC Championship game.
With the best record in the NFC?
I won't go that far. That's a difficult division.
It's not.
I'm higher on that division than y'all.
Not this year, it is.
I'm higher on that division than y'all are. I think they have a top two team. I think they have a top two team in the NFC in that division. They have another team that won 12 games last year. They have an up and coming team, and they have a team that's not going to drop off as far as many other people think.
And they got your favorite coach in waiting,
Benny Johnson. Love Benny Johnson.
I don't hate it.
I don't think they get there.
I think the NFC is so weak.
It is weak.
I think they could not only make this triumphant appearance in the playoffs. I think they could win a round or two, But I just don't think when it's when they have to go one-on-one,
if they win two rounds, they're in the championship game if they have the best record in the NFC.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to have the best record in the NFC either. That's what I'm saying. I think they'll get in.
I was trying to weasel my way in
there. Yeah, I think. But to tell me that they got to go beat Philly or San Francisco, or I think at this point even Dallas, although I think I'd give them a puncher's chance. I don't see them win. I don't see them getting the NFC Championship game, but I see them making a big jump.
NFC Championship game or bust.
I have two.
What you got?
The Dallas Cowboys finish in third place in the division and don't make the playoffs.
I can see it. Eagles Giants.
Gets fired.
Is it Eagles Giants?
Yeah, Eagles Giants.
Okay. I don't love that McCarthy's calling plays at all.
I think
it was a bad decision.
I told you guys that. I don't have any faith in him doing that.
Bad decision.
I've seen that movie and it doesn't end well for him.
Not because of health, because of bad play. On December 3rd, when the Broncos play the Texans, Russell Wilson will not be the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos.
Jared Stidham. Tad Brown's
brother,
son-in-law. Son-in-law?
Yeah.
I think Russell Wilson has a bounce-back year.
I
kind of do, too.
I think Russell Wilson has a bounce-back year, and he's much better than he was a year ago.
And Sean Payton's going to push the right buttons and know the right plays. Yep. Yeah, I'll trash that one all day.
I think that he's going to have a bounce-back year. I mean, you said performance-related.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, not injury-related.
Trash him.
Yeah.
We're trashing that one.
We're trashing that
one. Was that your last one, Jim?
I'm always getting trashed.
Is that figuratively or literally?
Both.
Well, did you have another one?
No, that was really the last one.
Did you have some blankers?
I don't.
We had some of the texters that had a bunch of different ones on the Texans here. Stroud gets hurt early and Mills plays over 10 games as QB1.
Nope.
That's a buzzkill on my excitement for the Houston Texans season.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
I'm bullish. Jinx. I'm bullish on the Texans season. I'm very excited for the Texans. I don't think they're going to win more than 7 games. But I'm pumped up for football in Texas in Houston more than I've been in the last four years.
I agree.
It's great, but 7 games is an incredible accomplishment.
Six wins is 100% improvement.
Let's
keep that in mind. JJ, did you hear the JJ Watt thing the other day?
Which one?
Like, he was talking about how the fans need to be patient in the city because it's a process to build this team.
Oh,
I think the most reasonable takes ever.
I think this city,
well, evidently they didn't think that on draft day,
is unprepared for a rookie quarterback.
They shouldn't be either.
It's going to be a harsh. It's going to be a harsh reality to face for them. I could see, you know, it's the perfect storm. The coach that everybody's excited for, the moves on draft day everybody's excited for, the franchise quarterback looks to be in place for the first time they're excited for. I just don't see enough talent and the rookie quarterback putting it together in year one.
I think you have to temper your expectations. My excitement has nothing to do with their win total. My excitement has to do with, let's see what D'Amico looks like. I'm pumped up with him here.
Oh, sure.
I think they're headed in the right direction. I like the young players.
I think you'll sell more tickets. I think you'll see more raucous crowds.
Oh,
I'm excited about the Texans. I don't think they're going to win 8 games.
I did have one more. I just couldn't find my notes.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson wins MVP.
Get out of here.
Stop it.
Why?
Why? Because he's not that good at football.
I don't think.
You said he was going to get back to where he was.
I don't agree.
Where I was top 10.
Didn't you say the other day that you thought he could possibly get to top 5?
No, I said at his best you could argue he was top 5. I don't think
he's ever going to be top 10 again.
Top 10, I think, is a lower bar than you think. Because
really?
I think 8, 9, 10 aren't great.
8, 9, 10 stuff.
Yeah, I think top 10 is a lower bar than you think.
Because that's when Dak Prescott enters the conversation and it changes everything.
Yeah, because I mean, I go off fantasy a lot. Like, QB rankings right now in fantasy, and this isn't always perfect sync up.
Justin's going to ruin
everything. Mahomes, you have Jalen Hurts. Josh Allen, I'm trying to go in order here. Fields, Burrow, Herbert, Lawrence. And then you have, it fluctuates between, Dak, Deshaun. It's top 10's not that. Oh, Lamar. I miss Lamar. Lamar's up in, top 6 territory. But, that's your top 6, 7,
you
8, 9.
You said Josh Allen?
Yeah. Yeah. Deshaun Watson right now, I think, because I drafted him today, he's QB9 in fantasy. Fantasy's different. But, he's a top 10-ish quarterback. Top 10's not a big bar.
But don't you also feel like he's got to get the wins to go with it in order to be considered
absolutely
for MVP? And I don't know that he's going to get those wins.
MVP's, I think, outrageous.
Completely outrageous.
0105 is trolling me. Will Levis will win the Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Well, he can't throw.
I got one for
you. Delete your account.
The Chicago Bears will win the NFC North.
Well, I've already said it so many times. I don't need Junior Bronco to come after me again.
Yeah.
I'm not going to back
trash
down.
2272, Kenny Pickett and the Steelers give Mike Tomlin his first losing season.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think that's possible.
I think they're going to be pretty good.
Do you?
Yeah. I love the weapons there.
I hate Pickett.
If Pickett takes a step forward, that team's got a shot to be pretty darn good.
How's their offensive line? Because
they spent a lot.
Najee Harris couldn't do anything. And he's
also banged up.
A lot of guys were banged up. You know, T.J. Watt was banged up.
He's always banged up.
Atlanta wins the NFC South.
No way.
Nah.
I don't believe
with
Desmond
quarterback. That's the problem.
They need
a quarterback. They got a lot of it.
What if they trade for Tannehill? 713-780-3776. What's your bold prediction? It's the HRP listener line. 713-780-3776. Willibits. We never know where the will's going to land. Joe will tell us when we get back. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
It's the Wheel of Bits on the Killer Bees.
Kibbles and bits, kibbles and bits. I'm going to give you some kibbles and bits.
Who knows the bits the bees will begrudgingly bite? Well, let's find out.
It's time for Bet Bees.
Here's Joel and Jeremy. And Joe.
All right, it's our Wheel of Bits. Joe George spins the wheel, and we talk about whatever he wants us to talk about. Maybe we are his puppets.
Yep.
After all.
Wait a minute, yep.
I guess we were Brandon's puppets, and we are still Joe's puppets. He's trying to put that together.
You should be able to beat your puppets at games that are played on the air.
I mean, you verbally, verbally beat me.
Well, we do that every day.
Oh. I mean, I got called stupid this week.
Some do it more than others.
Joe, we do it. If you really feel that strongly about it, HR&P.
Who called you stupid? What did you do?
Because you told them I was working from home. I was approving your vacation days.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I know. It's fine. That's okay. Right. It could be worse.
Do you know that
I called you a moron.
Do you know what my kids think that's a bad word? Yeah. They treat that as a cuss
yeah,
word.
For sure.
Because in school, you're not supposed to ever use that word.
It's a bad word.
Yeah.
There's this, you know Bert Kreischer?
You're stupid.
Who?
Bert Kreischer, the comedian.
No.
He has this bit where he talks about his kids and how his little girls like came running up to him because his daughters were saying the N-word. In reality, it was nerd.
Oh, no.
And so, like, they were, like, it's, like, the stupid thing. So they were, like, yelling, like, in front of other people. Like, they were saying that. In reality, it was just one of the kids was calling the other kid a nerd the whole time.
Like, normally.
And it's like, oh, kids are so innocent.
Normally, we're in the car, and the girls will be in the back seat. And it's normally Joe or someone on the speakerphone that says the bad word.
It's always me.
But normally, the kids will go, they go, Dad, you said a bad word. I go, did I cuss? How could I possibly? And they're like, yeah, you said stoop. I'm like, oh, come on. That doesn't count.
Yeah. Tough life.
I did see Joe cuss in front of.
In front of Joseph.
Who?
I cussed in front of my kid?
Yes.
No, I saw.
I have seen you do that.
I know you have.
Yes. I've also heard you.
I heard you cuss in front of Tay.
Refer to him with a cuss word of sorts.
No, you cussed in front of Tay.
Oh, I think I did. I apologize.
In the bullpen.
Oh, that's true, too.
Yeah.
I wasn't the only one.
I was like, did I remember that right? And I didn't see her. Yeah, I mean, she's just a human, but that's all right. Oh, what do we got on the Wheels of
Bits? All right, we're doing pet peeves.
Oh, that's good. It's right up my alley.
But since we're here, we're going to do golf pet peeves.
Oh.
So we're going to specify a little bit. I think the number one for me, even though I don't golf a ton, it's pace of play. Like,
you're Brooks Koepka.
There's a balance. Like, there is a balance. Like, you can't go too slow.
I agree.
We all know it. Like, you can't. And if you're the people that, like, are that slow, like, you have to go slower so then people can pass you.
All of my friends play incredibly slow, and it drives me absolutely crazy.
I think the flip side of that is the single that wants to play through everybody on the course.
That's a good one.
And then gets really upset because there's foursomes that are actually playing every hole and playing their shots out. It's like, slow your roll, because if you had friends or you could line up a true foursome, then you would be doing it the way everybody else is doing it.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm a fan of that one, too. Like, it depends. If it's a weekday, I don't mind it as much. A weekend, that's annoying. The U.S. Open, day one, annoyed me so much. That was a huge pet peeve. U.S. Open should not have a pair of golfers shooting a 62.
Yeah.
You know how many times before yesterday a golfer in the U.S. Open has shot a 62?
One.
Never.
No, that was the best score ever, right?
Never. It has never happened before where a golfer shot a 62 at the U.S. Open. It happened yesterday twice.
And in a major.
Should not be. Yeah, a major, too.
In a major, period.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
That should not be happening in our national championship. So that's my pet peeve right now.
That's a good one.
With golf. What else you got?
Joe, you got anything else?
I think for me it's the people who are – you have to know your crowd. And it's the people who – no, they're playing with not, like, real golfers, but then are extra sticklers for the rules. Like, if I'm going out to golf, like, I'm not going out there to be competitive. I suck. I know I suck. I don't try to be good.
Same.
I'm out there to drink and have fun and, like, be with my friends.
Hit a decent shot every once in a while.
And then you get the one hardo in the group that just is like, hey, can't do that. I'm like, yeah, man, you can go die.
Yeah, don't use the foot wedge.
Like, let me do what I want. I paid to be out here. Like, just let me enjoy myself.
I got two for the pace of on kind of the pace of play, but also to what you're talking about, Joe. Doesn't matter what level you are at golfing, but just know the respect of the game, the golfers around you.
That's true,
right? Don't get the beer cart lady to come over in the middle of a hole when things are backing up and it's already a slow day on a weekend, and then take your time ordering bevs and you know, talking to the chick to see if you can get a date.
That sounds like it's anti-Joe there.
Hold up.
That sounds anti-Joe.
I know my game. I was never, when I was single, going to go for a beer cart, girl.
But would you go for a beer?
Well, yeah.
There you go.
But so wouldn't you wait to the tee box on the next hole?
Yeah, you wait till the tee box.
But the beer cart, the bev cart girl's gone at that point.
No. That is, well, that's...
If you're meeting her in the fairway...
Most of them, you can just say, hey, meet us back when we get to the next tee box, and they do that.
I think if you know your golf course, you feel differently, because you kind of know the people a little bit.
Yeah.
Beer cart girls are always tough when you don't know... Well, you've never been there before.
Yeah. Because
you don't know, their routine and, how... If they're good and they're coming around frequently, how many people are playing that day. But that's a good one, too. The people who... This is, a life pet peeve, who just unnecessarily try to spit game with a girl that's way out of their league.
Oh, yeah.
The guy who holds up the group trying to flirt with the beer cart girl, that guy sucks.
The other one I don't like is... When you think you're better than you are,
yep.
So you're waiting behind a group, and the guy goes, "I hit that shot bad," and just pops a couple balls out and wants to hit a few extra shots. That's what the driving range is for, bro.
The excuse makers are the worst.
I'm okay with that if there's nobody around.
Right.
If there's nobody around, but if you're holding up somebody else to do that, it's like reclining on your plane. I'm just kidding. here's one that's to the inverse of Joe's, because he talked about know your game. If you're just out there to have a good time, who cares what you're shooting? Which I'm much like. I'm like that too. I'm going to hit some good shots every now and then, but I'm just out there to enjoy the day, enjoy the weather, enjoy the company. But what really annoys me, and the huge golf pet peeve, is the buddy that says they're really good. They're like, oh, yeah, I shoot, high 70s, low 80s, and then you go play around with them, and they're taking six mulligans around. Oh, yeah, and then they card a 79 after six mulligans. And it's all right, man. Come on. It's like the reverse sandbagging. I'd rather somebody sandbag than go the other way, the opposite sandbagger. I have no time for the opposite sandbagger.
The one I don't like is because, we used to play a lot of money games and get into a lot of it with a lot of my friends and coworkers. More than that. And what I don't like is the guy in a money game that says, that's a gimme for me. It's a 10-foot putt. That's a gimme for me because my handicap says I can only take bogey on this hole. No, champ, because we're not playing for your handicap today. We're playing for your money. You're putting that out.
The it's good guy is a good one. I have a buddy who will literally measure it with his putter.
And if it's
within the leather, within the leather.
Dude, I would buy a 20-foot
long putter. Yeah, he'll measure it.
Yeah, buy the longest putter of all time.
Who?
You know Clyde? You played with
him. Does he do that?
He's got the long shafted putter, and he's been known.
I never played with Clyde. Yeah, but
Clyde's good, though.
It's within the leather, and it's good for me, but it's not good for you. That's a good one. That's a really good one.
Yeah, because I know someone. I'm not going to name name. I'll tell you guys in the break. But that was a pet peeve of all the people that we all played with. One person that constantly said, because of my handicap, I got to take that. Well, if you're playing for your handicap, that's fine. If you're playing in a money game with three other guys, that ain't good.
That's what strokes are for. That's why you give strokes whenever you have the adjustment on the handicap. That's a terrible argument. Who was it you said?
I won't tell you. I'll tell you off air.
Honestly, I will say the good guy goes the other way, too.
I think I know who you're going to say.
There are times where it's like you are wasting time because it's such an easy putt. But they're just like, it's never good.
Oh, you tell them to pick it up, and they don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy's there, too.
They missed the putt and said, oh, you said it was good.
Yeah.
Oh.
There's that guy, too.
See, that guy would be the one guy I would, really have a problem with.
Marshals with too much time on their hands.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Marshals with too much time on your hands that are going to get, you're the eighth of your tire is off the cart path, and it's a par three, and you're not supposed to be off the cart path today, and you can see cart tracks in the middle of the par three fairway. Marshals with too much time on
their
hands.
Totally agree with that
one.
And
they're making, a lot of times they don't even make money. A lot of times they're just there for the free golf.
Well, yeah, they get the free golf for being the marshal, right. Yeah, because there's other ones where, hey, guys, you spent too long in the woods looking for that ball. You guys should
pick up the time.
Pick it up. Pick up the pace. There's no one around us.
We had a pace of play. This was years ago. And, the pace of play on a weekend is, I don't even know, 4.5 hours maybe?
Yeah.
Probably right. 4.5 hours.
Weekend's 5.
We were making the turn at a 2-hour pace. It was a 2-hour pace. We made the turn at a 2-hour pace. He's like, y'all got to pick it up. I'm like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? We're ahead of pace by a substantial amount of time.
Yeah.
Go talk to somebody else, Marshall, with too much time on your hand. Do not do that. Somebody texted in earlier, would you rather make a hole-in-one or throw a no-hitter?
Hole-in-one.
This one's tough because you're not going to just go on the weekend pitching a baseball game.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is there's not a recreational.
You're not making it to the major leagues.
Give me the hole in one, I guess.
Yeah,
it's a weird question because it's like an apples to orange.
I don't know, I was watching like just some producer from Barstool, like they were just posting that they went golfing. He had his first ever hole in one, and like just like the excitement from like him and the group around you.
Yeah,
like you can't get that doing anything else.
Was the hole in one conversation that we had, you and I?
No.
Were you on the skit with
you and I? You and I have talked.
You
about
and I
it,
had an argument.
I have three of them.
We had an
but
argument.
Two of them are par three
but was
courses.
Was Joe with us yet?
I don't.
Oh,
I think he was.
It was on the rundown. I don't remember if I think
you,
I might have missed
would
that.
Would you
day.
Consider? Would you consider a hole in one at a par three course a legitimate hole in one?
Yeah,
I'm not.
I've had three.
I think. See, I think it's about. It depends on the if the length is similar to what. I think you know what,
but you're not changing like your approaches.
It like, might depend on the
like
hole.
A real course.
See,
you're
that's
going
what
par
I
three
said.
To par four to par five. Here you're just 90 yard, 90 yard, 90 yard.
Because there's a lot of par three courses, at least back home, where the par threes were 140, 150, 160.
That's still like an iron. You're not going from.
Oh, but that's
iron
what a par three is,
right? But exactly. That's my point, though. Is you're going like that off of every single tee shot, whereas a real golf course, you're going driver, driver, iron.
It's kind of it
but
is kind of
one on a real golf course is obviously on a par three.
That one counts absolutely. But I'm talking about a hole in one at a par three course. That to me has an asterisk.
Okay.
That one has an asterisk next to his name, in my opinion.
Do you have any?
I have none.
That's why it's an asterisk.
No, it's not. It's not. If I made a hole in one right now, if I went and played East River 9 right now after the show, and I made a hole in one, I would asterisk myself. That's how strong I am on this opinion.
I'd give it to you. Depending, unless it was like 80, 90 yards.
That's because
or something like
that's
that.
Because we're strong about our opinions. We don't care who did it, even if it's ourselves. All right, 713-780-ESPN. You can weigh in, you can settle that argument if you'd like. Astros open up a 3-game series against the Reds. B-Mac at the studio today. A red or a what, B-Mac? Red or a what?
Cincinnati Royal.
Okay, is he a Red or a former Cincinnati Royal? What does J.P. France need to do as the Astros open up the series against the Reds? Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Something you need to do this summer is to upgrade your home, a little home remodel. You've been thinking about it. I've been thinking about it. We all have. Pinnacle Construction is for you, and it's peak time. Do you have a plan to enhance your living space? You better. You love it. Your spouse will love it. Your kids will love it. Whether you just want something fresh, whether you're just creating a new look, kitchen remodel, bathroom remodel, whatever you can dream of, Pinnacle Construction can do. From flooring to cabinets, new paint job. How about that pool in your backyard? You can do all that with Pinnacle Construction. They're the name you need to know, a general contractor with decades of experience that will help with any kind of repair. You've been waiting for the right people? Pinnacle Construction. Doug Johnson, the owner there, he'll guarantee quality in-house work, and they're here to stay. They've been serving the greater Houston area for over two decades. Get your free estimates right now by calling 281-900-3004. Why not do this? Free estimates. Why not know what you're looking for? 281-900-3004. You can visit 975generalcontractor.com to learn more, see some testimonials as well. Financing options are available, and ask for the ESPN discount. Pinnacle Construction, born and building in Texas with over 20 years of general contracting experience.
The summer circuit rolls on from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, live from East River 9. Here's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Brenham.
Well, you know whose music that is. J.P. France. J.P. France on the mound for the Houston Astros today as they go up against the Cincinnati Reds. France 2-1, 3.54 ERA. They'll go toe-to-toe with an Andrew Abbott. An Andrew Abbott who has not given up a run in two games so far this year. His minor league number's not great, though. So we'll see what the Astros can do. I haven't seen a Dusty Baker lineup yet. So
Jim's brother?
I don't think so. I think he's got two arms.
See, that's not nice. It was the hand, not the arms.
Jim Abbott had everything but the hand.
He was real. I was amazed by Jim Abbott.
What's a Michigan?
Like, legitimately, I was amazed by Jim Abbott. Because remember, he would pitch and then like flip the glove over real quick?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
He did. I think he threw a no-hitter, didn't he?
I think that's right.
For the Yankees?
I'm pretty sure he did.
I think he threw a no-hitter. His career was kind of really hot and then fizzled out really quick. But he had a lot of success, and it was crazy. Because like you said, he would tuck the glove under his armpit. And when he threw, the follow-through would put the throwing hand into the glove so he could feel this position.
It was outrageous. It was one of the – it might have been one of the best feats in Major League Baseball history.
Yeah,
legitimately.
He did throw a no-hitter.
Was it with the Yankees?
There you go. Yes.
There you go.
Yeah, that I mean, seriously. Like, the fact that – how long was his big league career? I would say at least 10 years, right?
Oh, was it that long?
I think it probably lasted – I think he lasted in
maybe
the league
like
for 10 years.
It was 10 years.
On the nose? Look at me.
Look at both of us, by the way. I called the team.
Yeah, he started with the California Angels in 89, ended with the Brewers in 99.
That's
he
amazing recall there.
Milwaukee?
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that either.
That one I would have not gotten.
Yeah. Dusty Baker's lineup is out, actually.
All right.
Let's take a look. At Jeremy Reynolds. What's wrong with Dusty Baker's lineup today? Here it is. Mauricio Dubon leads it off and left. Jose Altuve bats second, plays second. Alex Bregman plays third, bats third. Middle three, Tucker and Wright, Abreu at first. Yiner, the DH. And then the bottom three, Pena's at short. McCormick's in center. Maldonado catches. No one hit a home run yesterday, right. So no one earned a day off today.
A day off.
No one earned a day off by hitting a home run.
Gotta have Yiner in the lineup.
This is your normal lineup, except Chaz is in center instead of Jake. Jake gets a day off here, so I don't see anything wrong with that lineup. You see anything wrong with that lineup?
No, I'm good with that lineup because, I mean, the main thing I'm looking for right now is Yiner in the lineup because he's hot.
Yeah.
And you have an aspiring broadcaster on your lap waiting for his chance.
I got Brandon Baby on my lap right now for the final segment of the show.
I don't see anything wrong with it at all. I think that, you know, this is what you want to see more of. Dubon in left. You're going to find a place for him to play no matter what. And he's still batting him in leadoff.
And, I mean, Dubon against lefties has an OPS over 1,000. Like, Dubon has to play against lefties at this point. So, I'm totally cool with this.
Do we feel Alex Bregman really slumping again?
Oh, he's not very good at baseball anymore.
He is dropping the back shoulder. He's popping everything up. He's swinging early in counts. Not being able to work a count. Yeah, it's getting frustrating again.
Yeah, it's getting frustrating. All right, let's play everybody's favorite game. B-Mac, who's filling in for Joe today. We're going to get him involved here. That way we can all play. Is he a Cincinnati Red or is he a former Cincinnati Royal in the old debunked, were they, ABA?
Oscar Robertson, right?
Was that ABA?
Yeah. I don't remember what league. I mean, obviously this team eventually became the Sacramento Kings. So technically they're still around, but in a different city.
Oh, yeah.
Good point. Definitely ABA, yeah.
All right, what we got for us, B-Mac? What we got today?
Our first pairing, and I made this a theme for you guys. I made this all with players whose either first name or last name starts with the letter B. So it's a Killer Bee edition of Cincinnati Red or Cincinnati Royal.
Attaboy.
All right, so first pairing, Buck Farmer and Bucky Bockhorn.
I'm going to go the second guy is a Royal.
Yeah, the Farmer, Buck Farmer, is a he's a Cincinnati Red. I'm with Joe on
this one. Yeah, but I thought, are you sure the Royal's name is not Buckhalter?
No, it's nice one, Joel.
Jeremy's third one is the Royal.
Buck Farmer is a relief pitcher for the Cincinnati Reds, and Bucky Bockhorn was a shooting guard for the Royals back in the 60s.
If memory serves, though, Buck Farmer was a Kansas City Royal.
And the reason why I asked the question, too, when I was interning for the Trailblazers, our vice president of basketball was Bucky Buckwalter, and he was, I guess, a longtime basketball guy. Maybe he played somewhere. I don't know.
Oh, really? Yeah. All right. There you go. So we're all one for one.
One for one. All right. Second pairing, Will Benson or Bevo Nordman.
Bevo? Who is this, Texas?
Got to be a Texas guy, right?
B-Mac's a Texas guy. Of course he went with Bevo.
I'm thinking Bevo is the Royal.
I didn't know anybody named their kid Bevo.
That's the first
Bevo is a real person I've ever heard in my life.
It sounds like a back-in-the-day name, too. I'm going Bevo as the Royal also.
Bevo? Bevo's a Texas Longhorn.
Bevo on the low block was devastating.
Who was the other guy, not Bevo? Because that kind of distracted me.
Will Benson.
I think Benson's a pitcher.
Yeah.
I think Benson's a pitcher for the Reds.
Well, you're 3-for-3. Will Benson's an outfielder, but he is the Cincinnati Red. Bevo Nordman was a center who averaged 4.3 points over his career.
Attaboy. Attaboy, Bevo.
Yeah, I feel like we gave BMAC a really unfair disadvantage on this one because we went with a team where people didn't know how to name their kids like normal names back then.
No, BMAC
did it to himself.
We told BMAC he could pick whatever blank he wanted.
That's right.
And the blank he chose was the Cincinnati Royals.
Yep.
All right, our last pairing here. We have Silvino Bracco or Bud Olson.
Bud Olson sounds like a baseball player.
I think Bud Olson's the baseball player.
Yeah, Bud Olson sounds like a baseball player.
You know what? I'm gonna go away from you guys. I'm going to go Bud Olson as the Royal.
Joe is the winner. Bud Olson was a player for the Cincinnati Royals. He was a power forward. And Silvino Bracco is a relief pitcher for the Reds. 7-year veteran. Only pitched 5 innings for the Reds this year.
That high-pitched squeal you heard was Joe George.
Is this guy on the active roster?
I don't know if he's on the active roster, but he's on the active roster.
Bushley.
Everything has to be made easy for the Killer Bees. He played for the team this year.
But B-Mac, you just discredited my win.
Oh, yeah, asterisk.
You took everything away from me in that moment.
No one loves asterisks more than the Killer Bees.
B-Mac's taking some shots.
He's not wrong. Like, you guys know that.
Too hard.
B-Mac goes asterisk because you got to make things easy for the Killer Bees. Oh, man, I love it. Oh, B-Mac bringing it.
Oh, man.
Member at Bushwood, Joe George, and B-Mac. Yeah. B-Mac's your guest.
Oh, that
Joe,
was
I
good
acknowledge
stuff.
You as the winner. Don't listen to them.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thanks for doing that, B-Mac. We appreciate it. It was good fun. You know Pat Sajak's retiring?
I saw that.
Which ESPN 97.5 personality would be the best host of the Wheel of Fortune?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Wheel of Fortune.
I always get them confused with Wheel of Fortune and Price is Right.
Brad Kellner.
You think Brad Kellner would be the best host of Wheel of Fortune?
I do.
I don't.
You're going Pauly?
Yeah. Yeah, Paul's got a look like for TV. He's
BK,
done TV.
BK would be the worst one to do it.
Why?
Because
pronunciation?
He has to pronounce the words correctly.
That's a great call.
Like,
that's a good point.
Like, if you get all the letters correct and you say it, like, do you have to pronounce it the BK way or the right way?
BK would be a better Vanna White than he would Pat Sajak.
Yeah. You're right. Though BK goes, oh, no, because you at the end of the puzzle, it's true. When you got to pronounce it right
no,
as well.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh no, it's Stadium. Sorry.
I think that the answer is. I think the answer is Paul. I think Paul would be the best host of the Wheel of Fortune. He's done TV. He's been on camera plenty of times. He doesn't let that red light intimidate him. He's got a good look. He's got a TV look. He's in shape. All of those things. He's got a great personality.
Have you seen the controversy over this too?
No.
Evidently, Ryan Seacrest wants to be the guy who succeeds Pat Sajak.
Really.
And Matt Barry, the ESPN Sports Center host, who seems like the kind of guy that would want to do it.
I thought he was a radio host.
Ryan Seacrest?
Matt Barry.
No, that's Michael Barry. Nice try.
Michael Barry.
Yeah, Matt Barry from Sports Center is the guy that goes, hey, slow down, Ryan. Haven't you had enough fun? Like, he wanted the gig.
Yeah.
I could see both of those guys doing that job. Unlike Aaron Rodgers and Soledad Moonfry or whoever.
Rodgers wasn't bad. I liked Rodgers on Jeopardy.
But also, well, who's the Mia Bialik or whoever it is
you're talking about that's,
honestly,
that's Blossom, right?
You know who I could see do it? Because he's auditioned for some of these shows, but has just never had the time to actually do it. Dan Patrick has talked about retiring from radio soon.
Remember, he did Sports Jeopardy.
Exactly.
Yep.
I could see Dan Patrick doing Wheel of Fortune.
Because you have to be able to insult people, but do it really nicely.
Go back to the Sports Center guys.
Yeah, really nicely.
So then you can't. Then Paul definitely cannot do it.
That's a good point.
Could you see Dan Patrick going, you're not good.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, like it's, but you have to be able to insult somebody to the point where they're going to, like, think it's funny as well.
Right.
Yeah. So, like, you can't cut them too deep. You got to cut them, like, at a two.
Yeah. Dan could do that.
Yeah. Dan could do that. But he's not a host at ESPN 97.5. What's the Will House going to lead their show with today? Mandatory minicamps over.
Astros lost. Oh, I take this too seriously. Dang it.
Ryan Stressley. Is Ryan Stressley a good nickname?
I want to go how Scott Quesenberry can help lead this team to 9 wins. As a swing guard backup center. I think that's what they're going to lead off their show with today.
The quarterback controversy?
No, backup center guard.
Oh, okay.
All right, does it for us. Thanks so much, B-Mac, doing all the hard work and throwing some shots at us on the way out. Thanks to Joe George for doing the onside. I mean, I'm not sure I'm going to credit Joe George's work today. He's Blank on Brandon. We'll talk to you on Monday, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next, live from East River 9 on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.